Welcome back to Tome of Tales. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign, this episode is a post-session write-up, continuing directly after the events of A Bone to Pick, co-written with Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood, Jason, who plays Arcadius Hogg, Annie, who plays Gesh, Sophie, who plays Bibi, and Jamie, who plays Mary Taffeta Thistletop. It is called A Bone to Pick, Coda. The group of adventurers exit into the twilight gloom after leaving the cave entrance to the Sunfast Fortress of Vorstold, starting to head in the direction of the Faithorn Forest. The windswept landscape is altogether rather barren, sparse copses of trees dotted here and there, but their trunks are thin compared to the larger forest a few hours' walk away. There is hardly any shale underfoot. This path traveled often enough before the undead attacks started increasing in the dwarven stronghold. It is starting to loosen from disuse, however, so their exit is careful and meticulous. There is an unspoken disquiet amongst them all, but no one seems willing to break it for some time. Bibi could draw up the teleportation circle on the uneven earth, and they would be back in Daring Heights quicker. But she said she would prefer to do it on a more dirt-packed ground. The normal chatter isn't there, and they pick their way down the wind-battered slope, skeletal trees and large rocks casting dark shadows across their path as the sun sets. Thankfully, they do not have to walk all the way back to the Faithorn Forest. Taffeta spots a patch of earth suitable enough for Bibi's needs near a cluster of twisting trees that somehow manages to look like contorted forms, either in the throes of ecstasy or agony. One cannot tell which in the gloom. Bane checks the straps on Margrave's saddle, where he's affixed the bundled-up body of the fallen knight they found after defeating Morin. Claps Arcadius reassuringly on the shoulder, and makes his way to the others in the group, attempting to address what is seemingly on everyone's mind. He tries to get Gesh's attention first, with a nod in a direction away from the group, but the Dragonborn is exhausted. Knowing it will take some time for Bibi to prepare and draw up her teleportation circle, he plops down on the ground, completely missing Bane's unsubtle nods. The half-orc turns towards the Firbolg next, trying to catch her attention in the hopes of getting his message across in between her arcane scribbling. Bane, by his own admission, has never been much for discretion, and inevitably Cheryl notices these oh-so-subtle communiques. As if on cue, Arcadius comes up beside her, intending to lay a hand on her shoulder, as he says, "Let's just step over here, shall we, best friend?" Cheryl casually steps away from him and gives Arcadius an inscrutable look. Bane manages to lock eyes with Taffeta and, nodding in Cheryl's direction, says,
"Don't worry, it'll be sorted."
The Fey Bard looks at Bane confused and slightly concerned. "What will be sorted?" she asks, eyes narrowing slightly. "Bane, Arcadius, what's going on?" Taffeta asks doubtfully. "If this is about what Cheryl said to Rangrim, I don't think it was what it seemed like. We should let her explain." Bane smiles and nods reassuringly at Taffeta and Cheryl.
No, go for it. Absolutely.
Bibi nods along to what everyone is saying, though she is a tad confused. She comes over to Cheryl and squats down to be more at the halfling's height.
You okay?
She asks.
I sense this may be getting a bit confusing and overwhelming, but I think we're all just trying to figure out what's going on. I've also got a helping hand here if you need it.
Bibi presents her hand to Cheryl, and then wiggles her eyebrows slightly at her terrible pun. Cheryl looks at the offered hand, a slight, contrite smile teasing her lips. She lifts her own hand to take it, speaking directly to Bibi, as a crease forms between her brows.
There is something going on.
Cheryl starts, hesitantly.
I can feel it. Have felt it since the Rift War. Scared isn't the right word for how it makes me feel. Trepidation, maybe?
She is looking at Bibi's face when Cheryl catches a glimpse of Bane's expression from the corner of her eye, reading his dismissal of her words as if he were an open book. Bibi sees the shadow pass over Cheryl's face, like day swiftly turning into night. She pulls her hand back, and Bibi looks regretfully to where Cheryl's hand has retreated to.
Cheryl, this is what we talked about back at the Four Fair Winds.
Arcadius entreats.
You know we all care about you. We all love you for who you are. And lately, you haven't been you. We all just want to get to the bottom of why you haven't been yourself.
Cheryl turns to Arcadius, giving him a pointed look before she speaks to the others.
The Raven Queen has marked me in some way,
she says, almost reluctantly.
My magic feels darker, colder, like the summer is being taken away from me.
Arcadius comes over carefully to sit down near her, his expression empathetic.
I know how it feels to be. To feel watched every minute of every day. To feel like something is being taken away from you. To have someone else seemingly take control. We just want to help. We just want to help.
Now, hold on, mister.
Taffeta interrupts.
You don't speak for me, thank you. Of course I want to help. But I'd also like to know what you've got in mind before you go talking like I'm part of whatever you two have cooked up.
She gives a stern look to Arcadius and Bane. A small grin passes over the half-orc's lips at Taffeta's words, and he raises his hands in a don't-shoot gesture.
Cheryl, what you just said is quite concerning.
Bibi's voice is laced with worry, and it draws the Fey Bard's attention to her.
Something is changing your magic? I don't know what Bane and Arcadius are planning to do to help, but I have some restorative magic myself now. If you want, I can try the spell and see if that helps you in some way. It might be worth a try.
Bibi pulls her component pouch out and puts it on her lap. At the same time, Bane lowers his hands, reaching them towards Cheryl in an amiable way.
Mate, I don't mean to pick a fight here.
The big man tries to reassure her.
I think I know what's going on with you is all, and honestly, I'm surprised that you're aware of it while it's happening.
Cheryl raises a doubtful eyebrow.
When it happened to me, I wasn't aware. I don't think Gesh was either, were you, mate?
Yeah.
Gesh says, looking at Bane in understanding.
That was really strange. I didn't feel any kind of change, but I also couldn't make myself let go of it.
Bane nods.
Magic items can be really fucking tricky that way. But if you want our help, you know you have it.
Still, I don't know what Arky and Bane are thinking of here.
Gesh says.
If you are alright with Bibi trying some magic to help, that's probably a good idea. It is up to you. But I think you know that they won't be happy to just leave it with no more conversation.
The Dragonborn glances between Bane and Arcadius, trying to discern what their intentions are. Arcadius is solely focused on Cheryl, his cat-like eyes glued to her face, not giving much mind to what everyone else is saying. Bane merely shrugs and looks resigned.
Do you guys actually have something in mind?
The Dragonborn asks, his tone becoming serious.
Spit it out. It'll be easier for everyone if we know what you're thinking of doing.
Cheryl shifts from foot to foot, almost as if she is struggling with something. She looks from Arcadius to Bibi, then Gesh, who are all clustered around her. Taking a few tiny steps back from them, she closes her eyes and her hands ball into fists.
I'd like to know what you have in mind, Bane.
She enunciates, her breathing a little shallow.
While you're at it, you can come out and say what you think the problem is.
Tacitus says pointedly.
Because it seems like everyone except me already knows somehow.
Bane grins a little at the halfling woman again.
Only because you're smarter than all of us by half when it comes to items, Taff.
He turns to Cheryl, a small, reassuring smile on his face.
I think you've picked up a cursed item.
He starts to explain, speaking slowly and calmly.
I think it could be that fancy cloak of yours, because of Arky telling me you don't want to take it off. When I had Phil, my talking sword, I kept it in the bed with me when I slept. Didn't want to fight with any other weapon. I didn't even realize it at the time. Not until Sunday lifted the curse. If you'd let her try, I reckon Bibi can do the same kind of magic. If not her, I know for a fact that Varys can. If you'd let one of them try it, it'll either lift the curse, or nothing else will happen. I promise. That way, you can at least rule that out as something that could be affecting you. How do you feel about that, mate?
Gesh had been nodding as Bane spoke. Now he turns to Cheryl.
You mind us trying that? I hope we aren't making you uncomfortable with all this. It's a lot to take in. And hey, if it turns out not to be the cloak, nothing bad will come from us trying. And we can see if we can help some other way. You did say something strange is going on with your magic. That it's got all cold and dark. Do you want it to go back to the warm and light type you had before?
There is a brief pause as they all look at Cheryl, waiting to hear her response. My cloak. She scoffs. Of course Arcadius said that to you. Cheryl shakes her head in disbelief, then straightens up, hands relaxing at her side, and looks between Bane and Arcadius.
My cloak is not the problem, she says with conviction.
Arcadius closes his eyes, hand rubbing the one not covered by the knave's eye patch, before shaking his head and standing up.
Of course I said that this all started when you got that cloak. 'Cause that's when it did, back in Avernus. And honestly, Cheryl, I'd like to not keep thinking about our time in Avernus. because as you well know, things happened that I still haven't processed fully. But alas...
He stops himself and takes a heavy breath before starting again, talking slower in an attempt to be calm.
This isn't about me. This is about helping you. If the cloak isn't the problem, then let us prove that for you. Let BB cast the spell, and then we can be done with it. We can go down a different angle. Yeah? Maybe we should hear what Cheryl thinks is the problem.
Taffeta interjects, glaring at her taller companions.
Or at least hear why she reckons it isn't the cloak.
Cheryl glances at BB and sees genuine concern trying to draw her in. And part of her wants to go to her big blue friend and accept the offer. She tentatively steps closer, glancing at her best friend, and there is sadness in her eyes.
I'm sorry, Arcadius, I truly am. I do not mean to make you relive what happened in Avernus.
She turns towards Gesh.
And my magic isn't always cold and dark. It only happens when I feel her, the Raven Queen, in the shadows or in the darker parts of my song.
As she looks at Gesh, Cheryl sees something in the way he is looking at her that draws her up short. Glancing past him, it is even more prominent in Bane's expression. Cheryl scowls, her face completely transforming. Sharp, cruel, and wicked lines make her look almost unseelly.
It's hard enough to explain, let alone when you won't even listen to me.
She bites out, hurt laced in the sharpness of her words. She steps farther away from them all, gesturing at Bane and Gesh.
Clearly there are more issues than just mine that need airing.
Cheryl turns away. Bane nods, completely unsurprised and a little sad. Gesh looks genuinely taken aback and a bit upset. Bibi's face stays impassive as she continues to project calm into the growing tension. Arcadius takes a few steps away from Cheryl, giving her more room.
Cheryl, we are listening. You have the floor. You have the space to speak. I am always willing to listen to you. You know that. Deep down. Tell us what it is like. When do you feel her presence? When does she appear in the shadows? The more we know, the more we can address things.
A tear appears, falling slowly from his eye down his cheek, in the silence as he waits.
You know you are my main concern. Bane and Gesh's issues we can deal with another time, right here, right now. You are my main worry, and I am here for you, by your side.
I'm listening as well, Cheryl.
BB says, her voice calm.
If you don't think it's the cape, then I believe you. But going by what you're saying, you didn't ask for this dark presence of the Raven Queen that is affecting your magic. I don't like that. Unlike the Raven Queen or whatever is affecting you, I'm giving you a choice here. A choice to let me help you understand. I'm sure you probably have questions you want answered. Maybe my spell can help answer them. Maybe it can't. And if not, then I'll help you go find those answers like you did with me. Please trust me to help you, like I trusted you to help me.
Bibi stays where she is sitting and gives Cheryl an encouraging smile.
You want to understand.
Cheryl says quietly, a humorless chuckle escaping past her lips.
You say I'm cursed. But how can you know that, Bane? Do you really understand the arcane like I do? Let alone how Bibi or Arcadius does? How can you, when I don't fully understand what is happening?
She shakes her head as she looks up to the sky.
Why would a god have her eyes on me? Choose me to be her herald when I do not wish to be!
The outburst is unnerving. None of them have ever seen Cheryl like this before. Shadows ripple in the trees, creeping closer, and an uneasiness encroaches around their group. Cheryl turns around and looks at the faces in front of her, at the people she has grown close to, and those who are kind souls but whom she barely knows. Is it genuine concern she reads from Taffeta? Or is it like Bane, a hidden jealousy that is showing in how he wants to make her less powerful, less special? The thoughts whirl through her mind, and she starts to pace back and forth, brushing at the tears that have started appearing in her eyes.
I don't know what to do!
Cheryl half sobs, anger and fear in the tone of her voice. She starts tugging at the feathered cloak on her shoulders, looking like she wants to take it off, but never getting her hands close enough to the intricate metal collar clasp that lays across her chest.
I think I lied earlier when I said I wasn't scared.
She mutters so quietly, the others almost don't catch it. She stops pacing and stares into the shadows, like she is looking at something.
I am terrified of what the Raven Queen could want with me.
Seeing his friend lose herself in a maelstrom of emotion, Bane raises his maul and slams the handle of it into the ground, setting it ablaze. It shines brighter than ever, a glow echoed in the sunflower pendant resting against his breastplate. The sudden noise jolts her, causing Cheryl to look at him. He speaks with a low, firm voice, dragging up every memory he has of Red, hoping to wake something in Cheryl as well.
The boss wouldn't like it!
A shadow of something passes across his face, but it melts into sincerity again, and he continues.
Varys wouldn't want you to be hurting like this, Cheryl. So either let Bibi do it, or come with me to him, and he can lift it.
For just a moment, like the space between notes in a song, Bane locks eyes with Cheryl, and he sees her as she truly is. A young female, touched by the Feywild. Daughter of Summer, playfully mischievous but with love in every fiber of her being. Her eyes are alight with recognition, seeing him and who he is trying to be. But then, from behind her, the shape of dreadful dark wings fans out, and they drape themselves over her, the cloak she has been clutching at rustling in the breeze. Her hands fall to her sides, and her face closes off. The tears that had been falling down her cheeks stop, and her blue eyes turn cold and indifferent as glaciers.
No.
Bane closes his eyes. When he opens them again, they are dark and determined. Cheryl tries to flee, but Bane is quicker than her in this moment. Arcadius gets out of the way, retreating behind a nearby rock, turning his gaze away from what is about to unfold. Without looking Cheryl in the eye, Bane picks her up, locking his arms around her entire body. Taffeta starts forward, shouting,
"Hey, hang on!"
But it's too late. Cheryl struggles against Bane, trying to break free, but his embrace is unrelenting. He maneuvers her so her face is pressed against the sunflower pendant, hanging against his breastplate, ensuring Cheryl is turned away from Bibi so she cannot see her.
"Just do it, Bibi. Get it over with."
"What are you doing? Let go of me, Bane!"
Cheryl shouts in anger as she tries to break free. Gesh turns his head down, muttering.
Sorry about this, Cheryl. If it doesn't help, feel free to take a shot at me after.
Then he gets up and comes over to stand near the half-orc. Cheryl glares daggers at him before her expression shifts, attempting to entreat him.
I'm telling you, it's not the cloak!
Bibi also stands up, her expression hesitant.
I want to give you a choice, Cheryl. I really do. But I don't think whatever this is letting you make a choice. I'm sorry I didn't notice how scared you were sooner.
She reaches into her component pouch, getting out a vial of diamond dust, which she uses to draw a smiley face on the palm of her hand. She comes over to Bane and Cheryl, and reaches out as she utters a few words under her breath.
No! Please stop!
Wait, says Taffeta hesitantly, but Bibi's light blue hand touches Cheryl's sun-kissed skin, the light of her divine spell seeping into the Fae Bard's form. There is a moment as everyone holds their breath, and Cheryl goes still. The metal two-bird motif clasp undoes itself, and the elegant, woven metal collar falls open. The cloak, a dazzling, colorful feather, slips from Cheryl's shoulders and falls crumpled to the ground. From the shadows of the twisted copse of trees and the craggy rock formations around them, there is a soft rustling that builds and builds and builds into a crescendo. Everyone looks around, trying to see what the source of the sound is, but they cannot see anything. Then, from the darkness, suddenly bursts forth dozens upon dozens of ravens, the sound of their wings beating in the air as they call mournfully out into the night. They swirl above Bane, Cheryl, and Bibi, before flying off into the twilight sky, the echo of their cries lingering in their wake. Cheryl collapses into Bane's chest, a sheen of sweat glistening on her brow. Bibi gives a small gasp as she sees what is on her back. Dark, jagged talon marks that start from her shoulder blades tear down Cheryl's back, going below her studded leather armor. Taffeta reaches forth and lays a healing hand on her back, and though it seems to ease Cheryl's pain a little, the marks remain. Sorry, Bane whispers softly to her. He gently lowers Cheryl down to Taffeta, who steps forward to take her weight. Cheryl's knees buckle, and Gesh steps forward too, lending a hand so she can steady herself on her own 2 feet. Taffeta stays close, just in case, trying to not touch the wounds on her back. Bane takes his hands off of her, before turning promptly on his heels and walking away from the group.
How do you feel?
Gesh asks kindly.
Did that help?
Bibi inquires, hopeful. Cheryl feels the healing magic Taffeta is pouring into her, and she stands a bit steadier on her own, the sheen disappearing from her brow, though her breathing is still a bit shallow. She nods a little, looking around at everyone, and then frowns.
I feel...
With a shaking hand, Cheryl tries to reach around to touch her back, but stops and winces. Taffeta takes a quick look. The gashes have healed somewhat, but she thinks something stronger than her healing magic will be needed to get rid of them entirely. If they even can be.
I feel... okay.
Cheryl tries again, uncertainly. Her brow draws together further as she looks around again, noting one person is not there. It is at this point that a tiny squeak and the small form of a weasel pokes out of Cheryl's armor, working its way out and climbing onto her shoulder. The weasel reaches out with a tiny paw, patting Cheryl's neck in a reassuring way.
A moment later, Arcadia slowly steps back into view, tentatively looking around at everyone.
I don't know why I am asking. I know it's done.
He looks at Cheryl.
Are you okay?
The crease eases from Cheryl's brow, but there's a wariness in her eyes as she looks at Arcadius.
I don't know. I think so, but I thought I was fine before.
She looks down at the cloak on the ground. A myriad of emotions flicker across her face. Anger, fear, sadness, confusion. And then they are gone. Cheryl looks at Baby. Where's Bane? Is he? Taffeta jerks her head in the general direction he went off into. She doesn't speak, concentrating on Cheryl's face and manner, searching for any sign of anything still wrong. After a few moments, she seems to relax.
He's okay.
Bibi reassures Cheryl.
Just taking a moment. I'll check on him soon. You just concentrate on yourself right now.
But Cheryl is already heading after Bane. As she passes Arcadius, she takes Ida from her shoulders and hands her over to him without a glance. Bibi, Taffeta, and Gesh keep an eye on the half-orc and halfling farther down the path. Arcadius leans against one of the twisting trees, bowing his head and closing his eyes. Ida looking after Cheryl, her little nose twitching.
That was the right thing to do, right?
Gesh asks them. Taffeta is silent, but Bibi answers him.
I think so. It didn't seem like she had a choice to take it off if she wanted. At least now she can do with the cape what she likes. Could we have gone about it in a better way? Maybe.
Bibi shrugs. I tried persuading her before. We all did before it came to this. Arcadius points out. This was one of the only ways of resolving this. But that doesn't mean we have to like it, or be happy about it.
I hope she's not too mad at us for it.
Taffeta shakes her head.
She isn't,
she says evenly.
Gesh, would you like to have your own diamond smile?
Bibi asks, holding her hand out to him as a sudden realization comes to her.
Oh, really? Yeah, that sounds great.
Gesh accepts her hand with a grin. The exhaustion he had been feeling leaves him, and his eyes get brighter.
Oh, thanks a lot, Bibi. You want me to replace that diamond dust for you later?
Nah, it's fine.
She says.
I need something to spend my gold on, if I'm honest. And this seems a perfect way to do that.
Then they all fall silent and wait. Bane did not go very far. Cheryl sees him doing his best Varys impression, hands on his hips, searching for some middle distance to brood at. When she seemingly materializes at his side, he takes a small step back, away from her.
Hi,
he says quietly.
You all right?
I am,
Cheryl says, surprised at how sure she is when she answers.
Bane, I'm sorry. You were right. I knew what was going on, and yet I didn't know.
She looks up at him and tentatively reaches out.
I'm sorry you had to help me like that.
He shakes his head immediately.
No, that's not... This isn't about me feeling bad. I forced something because I didn't see a way out, and I don't... You didn't know. You were cursed. I know you couldn't get out by yourself, but I still grabbed you like that without your permission. And that's not cool.
Cheryl's bright blue eyes search his face.
Bane, you helped free me. I'm trying to come to grips with exactly how much of all that was tied to the cloak,
and how much may be something else. But please, please believe me when I say this to you.
She comes closer to him, taking his hand from his hip, her touch warm and gentle. Bane crouches down next to her, and he works his jaw a couple of times trying to settle on what to say.
I guess I'm always going to be scared of becoming what people back in Oshinwald thought I was. But that's on me, not you. Don't worry about me, please. Just don't put the cloak back on and, like, take care of yourself, all right?
I will not put that cloak on again,
Cheryl says vehemently, closing her eyes as a little shudder goes through her. When she opens them again, the blue is warm and open like an ocean.
I will worry about you, though, because you're my friend, and I care.
She brings his hand up to her lips and gives his fingers a soft kiss.
Not once have I felt unsafe with you, Bane. Even then.
She looks into his eyes.
Your light is strong and good.
As Cheryl says the words, she smiles brightly, and Bane can see she really is herself again. She looks down to the sunflower pendant, and then back up to him.
Gretcha would be proud of you.
Her eyes glisten in the twilight gloom, the light from the imperial topaz in her circlet casting a comforting glow between them, which is briefly echoed by the sunflower pendant. Bane doesn't say anything, but he does not have to. Sometimes, words aren't necessary. Cheryl leans in and gives him a warm hug, and though he reciprocates, she can tell he is being careful, like he's handling something made of glass. She doesn't linger too long, giving his hands one more brief kiss before she steps back and nods in the direction of the others. When they rejoin them, Bane picks up his maul and goes over to check on the dead knight. He busies himself with wrapping her in a spare cloak he pulls from Margrave's saddlebags. It's clear he wants some space, and he tries to keep Gesh between him and Cheryl, despite what she had just told him. Cheryl goes over to where Bibi, Tafeta, and Arcadius are, looking at them earnestly and openly. She seems a bit nervous, but she starts to speak before they can say anything.
I would like to hold on to the cloak, but before you say no,
she continues on, seeing Tafeta's eyebrows shoot up.
I want you to understand why I am asking. I swear to you now, I won't put it on again. But I cannot merely move on from what has been happening to me these past few weeks.
A flicker of determination and a glimpse of her face side dashes across Cheryl's face.
There are schemes afoot, and I would like to have this cloak in order to root out the ones who are behind them.
Bibi nods.
I understand and I trust you. But the minute you feel anything weird going on again, you tell me, okay? You had me so worried.
The tall firbolg draws Cheryl into a hug then, being careful not to touch her back. Cheryl is surprised for a moment, but returns her friend's embrace. Gladly.
I will, baby. I may need your help soon with all of this.
What is it anyway?
Tafeta asks.
What do you think happened?
It sounds like you think someone did this to you. It wasn't just some cloak you found and put on.
The smile that had been on her lips vanishes as Cheryl pulls back from Bibi to look directly at Tafeta.
It was gifted to me by the commander of the glorious Company of the Summer Court, Arvel Morningdew.
Her eyes flick over to Arcadius.
As for what it is, I guess it is a tool. But for what purpose, I do not know. That is what I need to find out.
It came from the summer court?
Gesh asks her.
But what you said I was doing sounds like the opposite. Maybe some kind of sabotage thing happening here?
Cheryl gives a pointed look to Gesh that seems to say, bingo.
I have to plan this right. Going into any fake court unprepared is foolish, but I do have some advantages.
A mischievous grin spreads across her face as she looks at Bibi and Arcadius. But when she looks back to meet Taffeta's searching eyes, the smile is gone.
Please, Cheryl entreats. Let me keep the cloak for now, until I can get some answers.
Bibi looks at Taffeta, and the halfling gives a small nod. She keeps a careful eye on Cheryl as the tall firbolg picks up the cloak of many feathers and holds it out a little awkwardly to the fey bard. Cheryl methodically reaches out for the cloak, holding it a little farther away from her than one might normally a garment they are handling, before she expertly folds it and puts it into her handy satchel. Her face betrays nothing of her thoughts, but Cheryl's eyes are shards of ice as she handles the cloak. The moment she closes the interdimensional bag, she stands a bit easier. There is a collective sigh of relief as soon as the cloak is out of sight.
Well, seems there's more to do about that later,
Gesh says, breaking the relieved silence.
But right now, there's still this dead knight to do something with.
Before we do, I didn't say it before to you all, but allow me to do so now.
Cheryl looks at each of them in turn, from Taffeta's unrelenting gaze, to Bibi's relieved face, to Arcadius, who is silently observing her, then to Gesh, who looks more lively, and Bane, who pauses to glance at her. She smiles, and it's like a midsummer sun breaking through the clouds. They all feel how much love and gratitude she has for all of them when she speaks.
Thank you.
Each in their own way, smile or nod, sigh and relax as they put as much as possible of what just transpired behind them. Cheryl turns to Gesh and Bane.
Let's get back to the compound and deal with this night.
They nod, and she moves off to the side to wait for Bibi to draw up the teleportation circle.
I'll leave you with that,
Arcadia says, nodding to the bundled up figure on Bane's horse.
Me and Ida have had enough for one day. I think I'd like to go home.
Ida squeaks in response, her little whiskers quivering as she glares up at Arcadius, but he resolutely ignores her. As Bibi adds the finishing touches to the circle, Gesh puts a hand on Bane's shoulder.
Hey, you doing all right? Having to go against a friend is, hard, I know. But you know it was the right choice, and hopefully that helps make it a bit better.
Bibi, carving out the final rune, stands up to her full height and shoots Bane an unusually serious look.
Yeah, and whatever bad thoughts you're having about yourself, stop. You're not the bad guy here, Bane.
Bane nods at Gesh, still taking care to keep the warrior between himself and Cheryl, and looks a little relieved.
Thanks, mate. Just stay there, yeah?
He leads his warhorse over to Bibi and the circle, giving her a small grimace.
I know. It had to happen. Don't mean I have to like it.
Bibi gives the half-orc a look, then pulls him into a big hug. Bane hugs back very gingerly, nothing close to his usual spine-popping force.
Let's go home, yeah?
He asks as Bibi lets go. Bane nods to Gesh, who does as his friend asks, keeping himself between the half-orc and Cheryl. As the party gathers in the circle, Arcadius once more, quietly, offers to help out with the components and to pay his way.
Arcadius, honestly, it's fine. Thank you for the offer.
Bibi says sincerely, before throwing him an exaggerated wink.
Ask me again, though, and I will turn you into a badger.
This post-session write-up was called A Bone to Pick, Coda. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign, run by the London RPG community. Co-written with Leeksy, who plays Bane Cinderwood, Jason, who plays Arcadius Hogg, Annie, who plays Gesh, Sophie, who plays Bibi, and Jamie, who plays Mary Taffeta Thistletop. Bibi was voiced by Rianne Vardelion. If you wish to help support Tome of Tales, please consider buying me a coffee. You can find the link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for the next chapter in Cheryl's story.